I'm going to tell people right up front, Brother Andy, I'm only preaching from that one verse that I gave you, but he said, you can't read one verse. I said, well, read all you want, okay? So he did. I want to read one other verse here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And then, verse number 12 of Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I want to talk to you tonight a message. It's a brand new message. I've only preached it one time 4 weeks ago in Miami. But I want to talk to you about this subject. Are you sitting in seat one C? Now, I know that doesn't make sense, but by the time I get through with the message tonight, you'll understand what the seat one C is. In Proverbs, we find out in the verse that I read, enemies at peace with me, but our enemies are not always flesh and blood. And so I found out who my enemies were, and they're in Ephesians 6:12. Our enemies are not flesh and blood, but our enemies are sometimes and most times circumstantial enemies. Tonight, you and I are going to spend some time talking. I'm going to talk and you're going to listen. And I want to be your pastor for the next 30 minutes. Pastor's on vacation. So I want you to call me. If you had a problem and you call the office, Marcella says, okay, the pastor says, come in here. And a lot of problems that you have, I could probably give you the same answer. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And at the end of this message, we're going to disband or split. Depends on how you receive the message. And now let's talk about the salary for a few minutes. I want to build my sermon around an event in my life, a story on a plane ride that I had going from Fort Lauderdale to New Orleans. It happened when Hurricane George came through 10, 15 years ago. I don't remember what year it was. But I remember that the weekend before, I took my mom and sister to Key West. And as we drove down that long southern road, it looked like a black cloud, I mean, just hovering over Key West, because George was coming through. And then the next weekend, it was heading towards New Orleans, and that's where I was flying. And the message that I'm going to give you tonight, some advice that a stewardess gave me. It's helped me over and over and over again. And so I call it a little sermon preached by a woman to me that helped me and continues to help me, and I'm sure it'll continue to help you. My seat that was assigned to me was 1C. They assigned it in the front, the third seat, and I was 72 pounds heavier, then that's going to make a difference, than I am right now. And seat 1C, this is seat 1A, 1B, then they had an aisle, then seat 1C was right here, and then seat 1D. And as I walked on the plane, I was the last person to board the plane, and I looked at that seat. The plane only held 70 people. And I looked at the lady that was in 1D. I was 72 pounds heavier, and she was larger than that. So I walked in that plane. Brother Terry, would you mind just sitting right there just a second? You can have your seat back in a minute. 1C's right here. I go up. I sit down. I pull up the lever in between the seats, and about 3 more inches came this way. And as I sat down in that seat, I couldn't sit straight like I was supposed to. I had to turn sideways to even fit in the seat. I leaned back. I had to put my arm on her headrest. Her ear was 6 inches from my lip. And finally, my hand reached the call button for the stewardess, and she came up and she said, "Sir, what's the problem?" I said, "Could I change seats?" She said, "No." She said, "There's no extra seats." And I'm thinking, could I please sit beside a skinny lady? The flight was only 45 minutes across the Gulf. Well, that's a long time to be sitting uncomfortable. And this is the advice that she gave me that I'll never forget. She said, "Sir, you only got two choices." She said, "You could either change the situation that you're in, but unfortunately, this situation, there's no change because there's no extra seats. Or," she said, "you can adjust for the 45-minute flight." I began to think about that. There's a lot of situations that we get in that we'd like to change if we could, but sometimes we can't change them. And since we can't change them, we're going to have to adjust to the situation. I said, "Man, I got my pen out and I wrote that down." I said, "That's great advice, but still I'm going to have to see a chiropractor by the time I get to New Orleans." And every single person in this room has some unsavory things about your life that you'd like to change. And if you could, you would, but since you can't, you're going to have to adjust to it a little bit. I've had something happen to my right shoulder 6 months ago. I took one good swing at my wife, and man, it's never been the same. I woke up, and yesterday I had to go to the chiropractor, ate too much fish, bent over slightly, got a crook in my back. It wasn't from eating the fish. And I started telling the chiropractor, I said, "Listen, I got a problem." I said, "Not only is my neck stiff, I can hardly move my neck, my shoulders, but," I said, "I got a problem. I can't hardly lift my arm." He said, "How high can you lift it?" I said, "I can't lift it any higher than that." He said, "You're supposed to be able to do this." I said, "Well, I can't." He said, "Well, you're going to have to go see an orthopedic doctor." And that's another one of those things. If you can't change, you're going to have to adjust. It may be, and I've heard bus kids tell me, that they have two parents. One lives in one home and the other lives in another home. Now, it's hard for me to comprehend something like that. Growing up in North Carolina, divorce was a word you very rarely heard. And if you did hear it, it was whispered in secret. And then we moved to Florida, and my wife's first grade, almost every single kid had divorced parents. What do you tell a little kid when they say, "Brother Danny, I got to live here this weekend, and I got to live here"? There's nothing you can do to change it. And since you can't change it, we're going to have to adjust, and we're going to give you a little advice along the way. Some single ladies, sometimes it's best to remain single. It may be that your spouse has forsaken you, but God hasn't. You've got two choices. I'm going to change it if I can, but if I can't, I'm going to accept what comes my way, although it may be a bitter pill to taste. But what choice do you have? You're sitting in seat 1C, there's a crick getting in your back. You're hugging this big fat lady that you don't even know, you just met. But man, I got some great advice. I'm sitting in seat 1C. I've got to accept it for at least 45-minute flight. Then I begin to think about it. You know, I'm not going to let this ruin my day. You know why? Because I'm saved. You know why? Jesus is my Savior. You know why? I still have a copy of a book that's eternally written. Why in the world would I let this unsavory ride for 45 minutes affect me? God is still God. I'm still on my way to heaven, and Jesus is still my Savior, and the Bible is still true, no matter what happens to us down here. I'm sitting in seat 1C. Well, let me give you four other seats tonight. The first one is old age. Old age. Can't go back. That's something you can't change. And I begin to realize that since my last birthday, I turned age 57. I know I don't look it. Man, I look like a 27-year-old kid. You see, you decide to be happy. Old age or senior saint, you can be happy. Don't let your age ruin your trip to heaven. I heard a woman say one time to a guy, she said, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea. And the man said to the woman, if you were my wife, I would drink it. That's the way most senior citizens, they get old and they get crabby, but they don't have to. I'm 57. And every time I renew my glasses, I've got to get a little line there. It costs me $75 extra for bifocals. Everything's a blur right now. I can't do anything about it, so I got to adjust to it. You know how you, when you first get your bifocals, how, you know, you got to be careful going down steps? I can't change it. You won't believe this, but it's true. I have solid gray hair, just like Brother Frost back there. Solid gray. But I could change that. You see, this is my natural color. I couldn't stand looking in the mirror at this old man that my wife married. So I changed it. Once a month, I change it. You may wear trust. Walk around with that trust, and your favorite song is Trust and Obey. But you know what? You can do it with a smile on your face. Look at old age and say, you're not going to ruin my trip to heaven. You can't go back, so quit griping and complaining. There's nothing you can do about it. I like happy old people. Miss B, remember Miss B? I have some of the grandest memories of my grandmother who raised me. I never heard her get upset. Well, she got upset with me one time because I was telling her some things I learned in the cult class about Jehovah's Witnesses. She said, you can't say that stuff against other religions. She didn't know. But as I look back, I think about, man, how happy, how delight, and what a privilege it was to grow up in that home, and every single thing that I ever needed, they provided for me. I like one of the best illustrations. We lived 20 miles outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, and we'd have to go into Charlotte, to the city, to the malls, the strip malls. And they had a place called Morrison's. We used to have one of those in West Palm. My grandfather was here. My grandmother was there. And you have to understand, I was the first grandchild. And so when I came home, I mean, my grandmother spoiled me. And I love lemon meringue pie. And I said, man, I'm going to get 2 pieces of lemon meringue pie. My grandfather said, no, you're not. And my grandmother said, yes, he is. But old age. You can't change it, so you got to adjust to it. Well, there's a second thing. Married with no children. They call us dinks, double income and no kids. I'm in seat 1C, and I have no children. But I'm not going to gripe about it. I can't do anything to change it, but I can adjust to it. And so my wife and I, we made up our mind. You said, we're not going to have children in our home. We know that. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have children in our life. I was thinking about the Lowe's. This is a terrible thought. Got 6 kids, 1 mom, 1 dad, 7 days. 7 times 8 is 56 towels a week. I don't even know if we got 56 towels in our home. And that doesn't mention the unmentionables. I remember, and you're not supposed to talk about your mother-in-law, but she would complain, when are you guys going to have kids? Sometimes it would make us feel guilty. But because we can't have kids, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have kids in our life. We had 2 things to do. Change it if we could, which we couldn't, so we accepted it. We accepted the fact that we could not have kids, but my wife taught 14 years in the first grade Christian school, kids around her life. She's in her 23rd year of teaching first grade Sunday school here, kids. I've worked on bus routes, junior churches, teenage departments. I remember when I was in Bible college, my bus route was 34-9, Division 12. They had 12 divisions. Division 12, bus route 34, the 9th bus on that route. Northwest Chicago, we only had like 4 blocks by 8 blocks. That's all we had because there's a lot of people up there. But I remember it started out young for me. I was 20 years old when I first got to college. A little slow coming out of high school. And there's a little girl named Maria Rodriguez. She reminds me of Amy Nichols. She looked like Amy except had darker skin. Boy, did that little girl love me, and I loved her. And I remember how that God used that little girl to work on my life, to work on my heart. And I remember as a teenage girl, I wandered to Christ, and on Sunday nights, they'd ride the bus in, and I tried to talk her into getting baptized, and she said no, she was afraid that the preacher would drown her. And so one night, she said, Brother Danny, I'm going to get baptized tonight. She says, I want to watch a couple baptisms, and then you can take me up there, and I'll get baptized. Brother Hiles was baptizing, and some reason, somebody slipped a little bit, didn't go under. And Brother Howell says, oh, I'm sorry, I've only drowned 3 people. As far as I know, she never got baptized to this day. You know, kids have been a blessing to our life. They come, they say, Brother Danny, I'm hungry. Brother Danny, my mom left, my dad left. Brother Danny, my dad died. And I'm not going to complain because we couldn't have kids. We're going to fill our life with kids. Last Sunday morning when I drove to Miami, I got out of the car, put my coat on. I had a 9th grader, a 12th grader, and their grandmother all come over. Star and Holly and their grandmother Jan to greet me with a huggy poo. I love it. Lauren used to give me a huggy poos. Now she just gives me a pat on the back like a dog. Good boy, Brother Danny. I'm not going to complain because we couldn't have kids. There's 7 million people that roam the streets of Brazil. And it's hard. It's hard to watch a video of those kids. I remember our college pastor was talking about how a doctor in the church sent a lady to him to anoint her with oil because she was barren. Brother High says, I don't anoint people with oil so they could have kids. I only anoint people that are sick. She says, I'm sick. He said, what's wrong? I can't have a baby. There must be something wrong. And so Brother Hiles took a little bottle of olive oil and he anointed her forehead and prayed that God would give life to her womb. And then 4 months later, she came back grinning like a possum, if a possum could grin. She says, I'm pregnant. And I remember hearing Brother Hiles tell the story how the word spread through the church, and then that doctor sent 10 more couples to him. And he said out of that 10 couples that he anointed with oil, they got 11 babies. One had twins. And then he said the doctor came back, and he said, Doc, you know, my wife and I are married, and she's barren, we can't have kids. And so he anointed the doctor and his wife. And 8 kids later, he came back and said, listen, do you have any reverse oil? And I remember telling my wife, Brother Hiles is going to be in Lakeland, Florida preaching. Let's go up and ask him to anoint us. We'd been married almost 17 years. And so we went up on the platform. We said, Brother Hiles, we've been married 17 years. We can't have children. Would you anoint us with oil and pray that God would give us a child? He said, yes. We couldn't find any olive oil. The pastor didn't have any. Sister pastor didn't have any. And finally, the mechanic, the bus mechanic said, hey, I've got some 3-in-1 oil in the garage. And so he goes out and gets a 3-in-1 oil. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. And so Brother Hiles took that 3-in-1 oil and he anointed us on our foreheads and he prayed and asked God to give us a child. But it didn't happen. What did happen? Well, my wife did get pregnant, but the baby died before we even realized it. And then they found ovarian cancer at the same time. And then they said, go for a mammogram. And they found breast cancer. I never promoted Brother Hiles' anointing again. So what was the lesson? The lesson is, don't use 3-in-1 oil. Only use olive oil. Now, I tell you, just because we couldn't have kids doesn't mean our home. We couldn't change it, but we're going to adjust it to it. Number 3, your spouse has left you. If that's happened, if you can change it and get it worked out, by all means possible, try to get it worked out. Everybody's got problems. But think back when you were dating and how you'd do special things for her and for him, to try to win him. And when you get married, you still kind of do some things to try to keep winning them, like you're going to lose them. And if it's not possible to work out, then adjust to it. And rear your children to serve God, no matter what. And don't gripe or throw it up to your children. Or don't pit one parent against the other parent in front of the children. My dad was unfaithful to my mom, but I never knew about it until I was in my 20s. Mom never said anything about it. You know, moms are that way. Matter of fact, my mom never even told me. It was my grandmother. And I said, you know, if there's one thing I'd like to have a Christian home. No, I didn't live with my mom and dad, never did. But God placed people in my life to make up the gap. Number 4, your past is not what you wish it was. Your past is not wish. I remember one time I preached to the Jolly 60s. And I preached on remember back then. I talked about all the songs in the 50s and the toys and the candy. I said, you remember the good times you had? And this one guy come up to me, he said, man, I don't want to remember the 50s. There's been some unholy nights. There's nights that you'd like to forget. And you're in seat 1C, and it's very uncomfortable, and you can't change it, but you can adjust to it. You can forget that sin. Why? Because God has. He's forgotten it. And if you'd ever bring it up to him, he'd, I don't think I remember that. Because he takes our sin and he dumps it in the deepest part of the sea, as far as the east is from the west. Life is not fair. Sit in your seat 1C and shout all the way to heaven. You know, when some people get saved, there's really not a lot of change in their life because they didn't live an unsavory life. And some people that have, man, there's been a big change in their life. And you can't do anything about it. But the biggest tool that Satan has is called discouragement. That's the most valuable tool that he's got. Discouragement. I want to stay away from discouragement. Sit down in seat 1C and enjoy your life. I remember when Donna, your mom, died. You remember what I asked you out here in the hallway? You'll make me. No, I ask you how old you are. I generally don't ask older women those questions. And I think you told me you were 44. Because I remember I was 49 when I lost my mom and dad. I got a little depressed. They never really had a lot to do with my life except bring me into this world. But I loved them. And I got a little depressed, and I said, God, I'm only 49. I've lost both my parents. Sitting in that seat, 1C, I was reminded there's nothing you can do about it, but only adjust to it. And so I did. And then all of a sudden I said, you know, I bet my name's still written in heaven. I bet I still have Jesus as my Savior. I know the Bible is still God's inspired work and the Holy Spirit is still working in my life. I'll take my seat in 1C and nothing is going to ruin my journey. Nothing. You got to make a change. Or you got to make peace with it. And realize all that God has done for you. Think about all the problems we have. But when you put it in perspective, 3 o'clock in the morning, a couple of nights ago, I transported a guy to the mental hospital. I said, what happened? He said, I was sleeping in an abandoned house. And said, I got to hanging around the wrong people. Said, I went to sleep. And they stole my wallet, my money. You know what? I don't think there's ever been anything that bad has ever happened to me. You see, we're going along in life, and all this stuff that we go through is the process as we go through this life. Two things. Change it if you can. And if you can, adjust to it. If you would take that philosophy, that information that stewardess gave me, I've been able to use it now for 10 or 15 years. Now, I know how you women are. I mean, the least little thing just upsets you. Something that doesn't even matter upsets you. Well, it may not upset you, but it upsets my wife. And we start thinking, I said, now listen, can we change this? We got a new bird and it's spitting stuff out on the floor. They're supposed to. Whatever situation you find yourself in, think about this. The advice that this young lady gave me, I'll ever be grateful. Sir, change it if you can. But if you can't, adjust to it. And so just sit down in seat 1C, turn sideways, put your arm up, and just enjoy the 45-minute flight. Our Heavenly Father, as we go out tonight, as we begin a new week, and the trials and the tribulations that jump on us on Monday morning, I pray that we think about this little principle of, if I can change it, I will. If I can't, I'm going to adjust to it. It'd make life a lot easier and smoother. Lord, I pray that you'll be with our pastor, bring him back safely. And Lord, I pray that you bless our people. We ask it in your name. Amen.